The Yellow Cab Company is happy to present the old night owl, Powers Grill.
You're my owl's my Donatello. Well, these days we hear all the time, everywhere the saying, keep him flying. And there's another slogan equally important on us, keep him alive. There are many hard-working men in show business who are playing a very important and vital part along these lines, as Ed Wynn. He calls his enormously successful vaudeville show Laugh Town Laugh. And there's Bob Hope and Red Skelton, Fred Allen and Jack Benny, and lots of others. They don't devote all their time to keeping the civilian public laughing, although that's important too. They spend a tremendous amount of time entertaining the boys of the armed forces. And this brings me to my guest of the evening, another guy who has that rare knack and happy faculty of making people laugh, and probably one of the quickest thinking and most capable comics of our day in almost every phase of the entertainment world. He, by his ready wit, his ability as a raconteur, has gained for himself an enviable reputation on the screen, on the stage, and over the airwaves. He's with me tonight, and we're going to talk informally on the subject of how to keep him laughing.
Very informally.
It's a great pleasure to introduce to you a young fellow rapidly becoming America's number one comedian, Milton Berle.
Thank you, Powers. Thank you very much. Did you say America's number one comedian?
Yes.
There's nothing lower than number one, you know.
I never thought of it.
Well,
and it's appropriate, Milton,
yes,
that you're here with me tonight because you're celebrating your birthday, is that right?
That's right, Powers. Today's my birthday. I'm 34 years old. I'm really 36, but I was a boy soprano for 2 years. I'll never forget the first day I was born. I cried like a baby.
Well, the last time I heard you on the air was with Dorothy Kilgallen over the Columbia Network
a few
days ago. I hope you're going to be just as amusing this evening.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Powers. I hope you're kidding, huh? It takes me 4 hours to get warmed up. What do you expect in 4 minutes?
Well,
however, Polly, Dorothy Kilgallen is really a swell girl, and you're a pretty nice person yourself. You know, sort of a Powers model, you know.
Oh, great.
Talking honey tonight.
Talking of this Kilgallen, she had a grand column about you the other day. Her writings, you know, are syndicated and appear locally in our Philadelphia Daily News. It concerns, for the most part, your mother and what a lot she has done to put you where you are today.
Well, that's what it did say, Powers. And Mother really got a big kick out of Dorothy's talent. Incidentally, while on Dorothy's program, I got two laughs in a row. They were both in a row, my mother sat on. All kidding aside, Powers, my mother has really been a most important factor in my stage career. And whatever success that I have enjoyed so far, I really owe to her. In fact, I've risen from obscurity to oblivion.
I had the pleasure of having quite a long chat with her this afternoon, Mr. Rich. She tells me she very, very rarely misses a performance, which is loyalty indeed.
Well, one day she got mad at me and sat behind the post, if you want
to. Since we met last, you got married, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Powers, and I'm the happiest guy in the world. I really mean it. I'm married to one of the sweetest and the loveliest girls in the world, my little Joyce.
Well, now, talking of columns, you write a pretty good one yourself in Variety. I like that line in this week's issue where you say, I was thrilled at being held over at Lowe State in New York. Thrilled? I begged them.
Well, I'm glad you like that line, Powers. You know, I'm sort of a writer at heart, you know. I got printer's ink in my veins. I wish I had blood. Before I went on the stage, I was an old newspaper man. But I found out there was no money in old newspapers.
Sometimes there's not money in
new newspapers.
It seems to me you started your stage career at the age of 5.
That's right.
When your mother entered you in an amateur contest at the Mount Morris Theater in Harlem. You won the first award, $2. What form of artistry did you employ on that particular occasion?
Did you say artistry? That wasn't artistry. That was bribery.
Oh.
From the picture the bride came, COD. I'll never forget, Paul, the first day I stepped on the stage. I'll never forget the last day. The same day.
That's my cue.
No, you can say anything you want.
Well,
I'm ready. Just ask me.
Now, here's a more or less of a serious question.
Yeah.
Because even you great comedians have your serious moments, I know. How do you find audiences, I mean the reaction, nowadays to your humor during war times as compared with before the war?
Well, for Powers, today, audiences are in a serious mood for comedy. I mean, Sounds unusual, doesn't it? But theater goers and movie patrons and radio listeners, they want to laugh, and it's really up to the comedians of America to fill that demand. Never before in the history of the entertainment world has there been such a crying need for laughs. I really mean that.
And, of course, you've just come to New York, and I think you'll bear me out when I say the biggest hits on Broadway are the shows primarily constructed to bring laughter.
That's right.
Now, what type of entertaining do you get the most kick out of? Nightclubs, picture houses, movie work, or the dear old killer cycle?
Well, I like them all. You know me, Burl, One Hand's Family.
Oh, seriously. Yes. What's she like? You don't care about
her. Well, I like them all.
Oh,
at the end of the week, when from that stage. No, I really like them all. Any time that I hear an audience laugh, Powers, I feel that is the business for me. Either be radio or stage or screen or, you know, any business that I can make people laugh to make them happy.
Well, you do think that, now we'll be serious, that's awfully hard to make a guy like this serious, but you really do think that radio is a very important phase of modern entertaining, don't you?
Very important, very important.
Now a question, the answer to which I'm sure will be of interest to our listeners. We still got any.
Oh, he won't mind.
All right. How does a guy like yourself go about getting gags, as they're called?
Well, now, you hit a sore spot there, Mr. Powers. Powers, you see, I am a comedian by trade. And when I read a newspaper or a magazine, I think of what I read in the terms of a joke. I'll illustrate. Several weeks ago, we all read that Cologne was bombed off the face of the map by the very gallant RAF.
Yeah.
Well, I made up the following gag.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's pretty cute. Since Cologne was bombed, Hitler really stinks. So that becomes, it falls out of the situation, you know?
Well, now, to go back to a man that I know you admire very much, Ed Wynn, he, as you know, is a great collector of all forms of jokes and humor. And he once told me, I don't know whether I'm right about the figure, he once gave me the impression that there are only about a half a dozen original stories, and all of the others are paraphrases.
Yes, and the comedians keep using them over and over again. You mean that there are six methods?
Six forms, basic
jokes?
Yes, yes.
Well, that could be. I don't particularly agree with Mr. Wynn, but he's a little older than I am.
Yes.
He's one of the older comedians. I find out that there's more forms of more basic jokes than six.
But you will acknowledge, and you've had vast experience. I mean, I don't wish to, I'm not casting any aspersion on your abilities as a comedian. You must acknowledge that many old jokes are modernized and repackaged.
Oh, they're put on by this new Russian gangster, Joe Savitch. He savitches them around, you see. And, you understand what I mean, Powers? I'll tell you, old jokes are very good at certain spots, wherever the situation calls for it. I mean, I've seen quite a few shows recently in New York, not to mention the names, but very enjoyable shows, incidentally, they're a big hit. And there are quite a few, as we say, cliches and conventional jokes and oldies, and things that were written by Citizen Korn, that was switched, or they dropped into the situation, and the audience really let out a terrific before, particularly because they fitted the situation.
Yes.
I feel that if an old joke, nothing is old. If a joke fits the situation, and they can use it there, and the audience enjoy it, then it fits. You know what I mean?
So now in giving us a performance, when you get the reaction of your audience when they don't fall for one particular gag, do you immediately change your routine and switch others that would be more appropriate for that particular gag?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't like to brag, going back to the One Hand's Family, but I have, usually at my fingertips, hundreds or thousands of jokes. And it's all in the mood of the particular audience.
Yes.
For example, you mentioned an article. I can give you possibly five to six jokes on the article on the subject within less than a split, well, 30 seconds. Don't do it now. I'm a little tired.
But, all right, if you're a little tired, then we'll get on with the
next. I've got to do a show tomorrow.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to play at the Earls, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you broke the house record, which I understand is now held by Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor, who was so famous years ago.
What?
I'm only kidding. I know Eddie very well.
What type of show have we got in store for us?
Well, we have a sort of a comedy show, at least I think it is, and they tell me that I used to have the people screaming for their money back. We have quite a crazy show, you know what I mean? It's a Hollywood show, and I think, I only hope that the audience will really enjoy it as much as we enjoy doing it for them. We have Leonard Soost, the young boy that was such a terrific hit in the Broadway success, the show that he starred in, Johnny 2x4, and we have the Bengals Vikings, those great singers, and we have Miss Ruth Clayton, and our allies, a group of Chinese contortionists, which I think are most sensational on the stage today, Jim Wong.
It sounds very good, and I want to thank you. I'm listening to it very much.
Well, thank you very much, Powers, for letting me be on the program tonight. And I want to remind the listeners and remind you that whether you're rich or poor, it's always nice to have money. Remember that. Thank you very much. So long,
Powers. Priorities on last. In times like these, when hard work, worry, and anxiety must necessarily be part of our lot, we owe it to ourselves and Uncle Sam wants us to lighten our lives by going to the theater, the movies, listening to amusing programs on the radio, chuckling with our favorite comedians. Yellow Cab Company has been especially pleased to have Milton Berle as a guest on its program because it believes that his humor is a good American institution, in war as in peace, and that he himself ranks high among the builders of wartime morale. Another edition of PG, edited and compiled by Powers Grillo and presented by the Yellow Cab Company of Philadelphia, will be heard again tomorrow night at the same time at 11:15. WC